All right, we're going to go into part three here of When God Said No. This is probably the genesis of the whole series when I was thinking about different places in the scripture when God said no to people. And I want to come to you out of 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and Paul's account as he prayed and asked the Lord three times to do something for him. And God essentially said no. Is what he said. Amen. So let's give some backstory. I want to read and come up to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, come up to our text. I'll read through this to lay to provide some context. Paul is talking to the Corinthians who have been mesmerized by what was called the super apostles. There are people in the church, Israelis, Jews, who were saying they had these ecstatic revelations and they had, visions and the Corinthians were taken with that today. And it goes on in the church today. I mean, there's some places if you tell them you saw an angel or you tell them Jesus appeared to me, YouTube's full of it. There are all kinds of people on there talking, lying and then saying God did talk to them or maybe something did appear to them. I question whether it's in Jesus in most cases, but, And people get enamored with that. They're like, oh, they're deep. They're spiritual. I need to listen to this person because they had an experience. Well, Paul was the one who preached the gospel whereby the Corinthians got saved. But they had been overtaken by these other brethren who were claiming they had all these ecstatic experiences with God. And so they were more inclined to listen to these so-called super apostles versus Paul. So Paul, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, feels compelled. He's going to tell them some things that he went through that was far and above anything that these others. But he's calling his boasting is very unprofitable because it doesn't do anything. I mean, God is the one who made it all happen. So why are we going to boast in it? I mean, the boasting doesn't do us any good. So just to provide some context to this. So I'll start in verse 1. It is doubtless not profitable for me to boast. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ. Now, Paul is talking about himself, but he's speaking in the third person because he doesn't want to relate. He doesn't want to make it seem that he's so spiritual because he's experienced all of these visions and revelations that he's so deep. He's above everybody else. Paul doesn't want to do that. He says, I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body, I do not know, or whether out of the body, I do not know. God knows. Paul doesn't even know how all of this happened, what state he was in when it happened, but he knows it happened. Such a one was caught up to the third heaven, caught up, which means God yanked him. God pulled him up to the third heaven. It was initiated by God. It was nothing that Paul did or had anything to do with. He goes on in verse 3, and I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows how he was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. So Paul hadn't mentioned this to the Corinthians before when he was preaching the gospel to them, but he felt compelled to share this now. Amen.
Amen.
To relate to them that, look, these super apostles, people that you don't run after, hey, you know, you want some of that? Okay, I'll give you some, even though it's foolish for me to boast. I'll give you some of it. He says, of such a one, I will boast, yet of myself, I will not boast. So he's boasting about what God did in him some years ago, but he's not boasting in that now. He says, no, that has no bearing on that. That experience didn't lead you to Christ. It was the preaching of the gospel that led you to Christ. So why are you running after people who can, if they perform a miracle, you're like, oh, I'm going to follow that person. Very careful with that. We don't do that, at least not here. Amen. We don't follow signs. No. So Paul says, for though I might desire to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will speak the truth. But I refrain, lest anyone think of me above what he sees me to be or hears from me. So, Paul lays the foundation or the context for what he is about to say next. And here we come to our text. Paul says in verse 7, and lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations. Paul now is going to give a reason for what he was going through. As he said, lest I should be exalted above measure, a thorn in the flesh was given to me. Why was the thorn given? Lest he should be exalted above measure. Why? Because God had given him so many visions and revelations. Anybody here been called up to the third heaven? Hello. Anybody here know what the third heaven is? No. Anybody here been called up to paradise? I doubt it. If you have, you're very humble, ain't said anything. I'll tell you what, I haven't been called up to paradise, but Paul had. And Paul said, because of the abundance of these revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me. Why? Paul, to keep him from being picked up and big-headed, was given a messenger of Satan, he says, to buffet me. That word buffet means to rap with the fist. I mean, everywhere Paul went, the devil was beating on him. Now, we just got done with the book of Job, and you saw what God allowed Satan to do to Job. Hey, that's the, I always call this the New Testament counterpart. God allowed Satan to beat on Paul. Why? Well, he said, lest I be exalted above measure. To keep Paul humble. To keep Paul dependent. So, a messenger of Satan was given to him, to buffet him. This affliction was not pleasant. Amen. It was not pleasant. It was bothersome to Paul. And Paul, as well, let me share, just give some idea of, we all think we're going through something. I mean, we said that with Job. Now, whatever we were going through, we read the book of Job. We said, well, I'm just going to be quiet because what Job went through, my goodness. Well, with Paul, it's the same way because it's 9:23. Now, after many days were passed, the Jews plotted to kill him. But their plot became known to Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Have you ever had anybody looking at what, trying to find you, trying to kill you? I mean, day and night trying to, this is what Paul went through. This was like status quo for, this is before, he's still named Saul here. He's not even named Paul yet. And they're trying to kill him. Later in Acts 21, he immediately took soldiers and centurions and ran down to them. This is the guard, the those who were in charge of keeping prisoners. And when they saw the commander and the soldiers, they stopped beating Paul. They were beating Paul. Why were they beating Paul? Because he who turned the world upside down has come here. They were beating Paul because of what Paul taught and what Paul did, going into the synagogues, teaching about Jesus. But now out of Paul's own mouth, Paul is reasoning with the Corinthians and says, are they ministers of Christ, these so-called super apostles I was talking about earlier? He says, I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. We just looked at that when people, he was in fear of losing his life. He was in fear of death often. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus 1. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. When they stone you, they intend to kill you. That's why they stone you. They don't stone you just to inflict a little pain. No, they stone you to death. Paul says, I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I've been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of water. In perils means dangers, in dangers of robbers, dangers of my own countrymen, of the Gentiles, in the city, in the wilderness, in the sea, in the false, among false, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in fasting often, in nakedness. Now, this is what it's like for the message of Satan to buffet Paul. Paul's life was one of, it was one of affliction and suffering for the sake of the gospel. For the sake of the gospel. And sometimes in my mind, I wonder to myself, could we have an errant view of grace? Because Paul here says in verse 8, concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. Now, I know that we all have issues in our life. We've prayed for one time, two times, three times, 20 times, 100 times. Hello. Just like Paul wanted this thing taken away from him, we have some situations. We have some things that we want taken away from us. Hello. Amen. If I know if everyone was unmuted, I'd be getting an amen from every corner. Glory.
Amen.
So, now, let's move forward here. But this is what the Lord said to Paul. Oh, I'm sorry. Let me say this. What the Lord is going to say to Paul, because the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. When God said that, I wanted to remind us that grace is not free. It's free to the one who received it, but it's not free to the one who gives it. So when God said that my grace is sufficient for you, God did something in order to allow that grace to come to Paul. And Paul mentions it in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. That's grace. The one who was rich emptied himself. He poured out himself and became poor that we might become spiritually rich. He who was, now I know when we talk about riches, we always think about money. No, he who was spiritually rich was one with God, never experienced death. Eternal life was his and is his, but he came and he gave his life. He emptied himself through the death on the cross. That's how grace was obtained and given to us. This was the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I'm keen to remember that when Paul says, and the Lord responds to him in verse 9, the Lord said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. In other words, what I've done through my son, what I've done through Christ, it is enough. That's what sufficient means. Do you have enough? Do you have sufficient amount? Amen. And God tells Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. Now, as I said before, we all have things in our lives that we would rather not go through. Paul prayed and called on the Lord three times. Apparently, there was no answer to the first two requests. Or maybe the Lord said no the first two requests. And what does that tell us? But that prayer requires persistence. And Paul was persistent. Elijah in 2 Kings, or was it 1 Kings, was persistent. When he prayed for rain, he told the servant to go look, see if you see anything. And Elijah prayed seven times. Seven times he asked the Lord for rain. And then there came a cloud the size of a man's hand. God answered his request. Jesus prayed three times. And he asked the Father, all things are possible for you. If you are willing, please remove this cup from me. We're going to get to that perhaps next week. Because God said no to him too. He was no. No, by the way God answered it, right? By how things worked out. But so on Paul's third request, God's no came with what I consider to be greater than a yes to Paul's request. Let me say that again. The way God answered Paul, even though it came across as a no, it came out better for Paul than if Paul had gotten what he asked for. I had to stop here and say, wait a second. So you mean, what's better than you getting what you're praying for? Oh, let me see if I hear anybody. Let me ask again. So what's better than you getting what you asked for? We're going through some things. Paul was going through something. And Paul in Paul's mind, what I need is I need this message of Satan to get away from me. This is, oh Lord, this is too hard. I don't like this. Please take this thing away from me. And, and yet in one of the most, in God answering Paul, God doesn't do what Paul requests. He doesn't take the thorn away. What he does is he clarifies and gives Paul revelation as to why it is favorable for him to, for God to say no to him and for him to go through what he's going through. I said, oh my Lord, dear, my God, you mean? So if that's true for Paul, then it has to be true for me. You know, in other words, sometimes we pray, you ever pray and you pray. Now, sometimes prayer just, you have to be persistent. You keep praying. The angel, when Daniel prayed 21 days, he fasted. We see that in the Old Testament. The angel says, I was warned. Here I am, come to answer your prayer. God didn't answer Paul's prayer. Hello. Yeah, God did not answer Paul's prayer to remove the thorn. This is what God said. My grace is sufficient for you. In other words, let me say this. God's grace upon you in answering no to your prayer is infinitely better than God's grace not being on you and you getting the answer to your prayer. Oh my goodness.
Amen.
So God says to him, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Wow. It is getting God's will and, let's see. It is getting God's will and grace instead of what you prayed for that will take you through whatever you have to go through. So, here's what God is saying to Paul. Paul, my grace is going to allow you to go through this with the messenger of Satan, with the thorn in the flesh. My grace is going to allow this. Why? Because God was after something in allowing this thorn in the flesh in Paul's life. Some people will ask, why does God even want us to pray if he's not going to answer the prayers? How does God? Well, when our prayers agree with and accomplish his will, then God will grant our prayers according to his will. However, when our prayers do not agree with his will, his abundant grace strengthens us to endure what is his will for our lives. Does anyone know the whole counsel of God? Everything God is doing in your life? No, we ain't got a clue. Half of us, come on. We're like, well, I don't know. Why am I going there? All I know is it's hard. And I don't like God revealed to Paul why he was allowing him to have the thorn in the flesh. And here it is. He says, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Interesting. You mean that God's strength is revealed in me when I'm weak? Exactly. That's what God is telling Paul. Well, so is God opposed to me being strong in myself? You nailed it. Amen. Yes, he is. You know how it is, because when we get strong in our flesh, we go off and, you know, we be like, who is God? That's what the proverb says. He says, Lord, don't give me too much, lest I say, who is God? You know, when everything going right, people tend to forget, you know. Did you pray today? What? Who am I praying for? Man? Hey, money's right. Health is right. Hey, we're going on with it. Look here. And then all of a sudden, God says, well, no. You need to know that you need me. Why? Because I created all things and I hold all things by the word of my power and I have your breath in my hand. And any moment, you can leave here any moment. Oh, you better know you need God. So, in this instance, God let Paul know exactly what the hardships in his life as a result of the messenger of Satan produced. What did they produce? Reliance upon God. Reliance upon God. They kept Paul from getting big-headed and exalted and thinking, hey, man, look at me. All the visions and revelations I had, brother, you know who I am? You know how puffed up Paul could have gotten? Like some of us do today? So, God revealed to Paul what was going on. That may not be the case in what you and I are experiencing right now. We may not know why we're going through what we're going through. But then in a whole lot of cases, we certainly do know exactly why. I often think about my wife. She's in North Carolina taking care of her mother. Paul said, let believers who have widows care for them. Now, because if we don't care for our own family, we're worse than an infidel. You're worse than an unbeliever. And we want to take care of our own as a witness, as one of the things is a witness to unbelievers. We glorify God by being good to to our family, especially when today, you know, there are kids killing their parents. Hello. People robbing their parents. John Amos, the Good Times actor, I just read the other day where he was reporting his daughter for elder abuse when he was up in age before he passed away. I thought, his own daughter? Elder abuse? My goodness. But this is the world we live in. This is the world we live in. So what was God's will for Paul? God's will for Paul was not to be lifted up in pride and conceit due to the revelations he was given. What was Paul's will? Well, Paul's will was, God, please take this thorn away. This is all what Paul wanted. He pleaded three times. Please remove this. However, the thorn is what brought about God's will in Paul's life. Therefore, the thorn remained. The thorn remained. And God's answer to Paul was no. God said no. Now, it was not without this caveat that my grace is sufficient for you. He says, Paul, I'm not going to remove the thorn. Because the thorn, you having the thorn, is my grace being enough for you because my strength is made perfect in your weakness. The thorn brought about weakness in Paul's life. Paul constantly had to depend on God. How many of us are going through something like that, where you have to cry out to God every day just to make us say, Gina, Lord, God, I can't do this alone. And you think God done forsaken you. You think, you leave me in something like this. Oh, God said, yeah, that's exactly what you need to be crying out to. Sometimes we miss it. It's staring us right in the face. And we totally missed it. But Paul, he has the right response. Look at what he says at the end of verse 9. Therefore, most gladly, therefore, most gladly, I will glory or boast in my infirmities. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Wow. God says, my grace is sufficient for you. That word grace means favor or kindness. According to Nelson's Illustrated Bible Dictionary, favor or kindness shown without regard to the worth or merit of the one who receives it and in spite of what the same person deserves. So God has given grace to Paul. Paul's response to God's grace. As we look at Paul's response to God's grace, we have to then take our temperature and ask ourselves, what is my response to God's grace in allowing a certain situation in my life? How am I going to respond to it? Am I going to curse God and die? Because that's what Job's wife said. Hey, was God being gracious to Job with all he went through? You better believe God was being gracious. What kept Satan from killing Job? consider that grace. God blessed him with a double portion at the end. Yes, God was very gracious to Job. Paul says, therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. The King James says, I will rather glory in my infirmities. It's because it's all about the glory of God. God keeping Paul humble was a glory to him because his glory is when God's people rely upon him, depend upon him day in and day out. When Paul was weak through sufferings, he had to depend on God for strength. It was God's grace that brought this about in his life. Therefore, God is to be praised for keeping us dependent on him for strength, lest we get high-minded and think more of ourselves than we ought to think. He said, but I don't like being down. Well, I suggest that we change what we like. James put it this way. Joy. And I know some people say, I love joy. You don't have to count joy. But guess what? When God keeps you in that trial long enough, guess what you're going to do? You're going to come to the place of counting it joy. And just stay there jacked up. It's not good for you if you're constantly just all up in your feelings, your emotions, mad, cantankerous, and no one loves me, can't nobody be around you, you know? No, you're going to come to the place of counting it joy. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Because it's up to God when the trial ends. Hello. Paul had the right response. And when I read this, I say, oh, God, I just want to be like, rejoice, oh, God. Well, it doesn't matter what it is. Says it in 1 Thessalonians 5, 18. In everything, give thanks. The theme is all the way through the scripture. Huh? Paul says, I'm going to be glad. I'm going to boast. I'm going to boast in my infirmities, in my weaknesses, in my afflictions, and all these things. And you're like, and today's Christian going like, Paul had to be crazy. He had to be out of his mind. Man, where was I? When my friend told God, he shook his fist at God and said, God, you did that. And looking at him, I'm going, insane. Are you out of your mind? Now, you know something is wrong and it's not with him. Hello? If you're shaking your fist at God, something's wrong and it's not with God. It's with you. Amen. So, God's no to Paul, when he said no to Paul, it was God's grace actually working in Paul's life. It was God's grace that allowed the thorn and for Paul to go through it to produce what God wanted, and that was for Paul to remain humble so that God could pour his work through Paul's life. So the thorn remained by the grace of God. So sometimes we are in situations that we'd rather not be, and we're in it by the grace of God. And if we simply understand that God's strength is being perfected in me through my weakness, then let God have his way. I know we live in America and we don't like being weak. We want to win every gold at the Olympics. We want to win every gold. No silver. No, we want. Yes, right. We want to beat every nation. All the other nations going for wins. But no, we think no, you can't. We are top and not. Listen, that's not God. That's not God. Now it's fun to compete and do your best and all of that. But when you always have to, there's only one who's always the beginning and the end. He's the first. And there's only one who's always first. Hello. There's only one. No, but we want to be one. I remember someone saying, I want to be like the Most High. I'm going to ascend to the hill of the north. Yeah, I want to be like him. Yeah, I remember want to be America, don't do that. No, don't do that. Humble yourself. Yes, let it go. So while I was considering all that Paul went through, it mirrored to me what David, and Psalm 56 come to mind. Listen to what David said. Whenever I'm afraid, I will trust in you. How many times was David afraid? Well, hello, Saul for 13 years tried to murder him. Hello, he ran for his life. This song was written, Psalm 56 was written when the Philistines caught David. And he's amongst them and he doesn't know what they're going to do with him. That's when he fiend like he was crazy and let the spittle drip down on his beard, act like a, he was a wild man. He said, whatever I'm afraid, I will trust in you. God kept his saints dependent on him. Now, all the things that they had to go through. In God, he said, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear. What can flesh do to me? David said, I'm sure Paul said it. What can flesh do to me? Jesus even said, don't fear those who kill the body, but have, after that, have no more they can do. Fear him who has the ability that after he has killed the body, has the ability to cast body and soul in hell. He said, fear him. Yeah, that's what Jesus said. David went on and says, all day they twist my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. Jesus went through this. Paul went through this. David's going through it. They hide my steps when they lie in wait for my life. They were waiting, looking for David. You remember when Saul sent to his daughter's house to David's house to kill David in bed. She said, he's sick. He's sick in bed. That's said, kill him in the bed. And so they're lying in wait. Looking for David. They were lying in wait, looking to kill Paul. They were lying in wait and looking to kill Jesus. Well, people always had to depend on him, had always had to look to him. Hello. Finally, he says this, you number my wanderings, put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book? Well, if you don't have this, if you don't have this scripture written down, hello. You don't have it memorized, now's the time. Look at what David says. You number my wanderings. You know everywhere I'm going. Put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book? God has recorded every tear you've ever shed. Hey, you talk about, does that give you comfort? I know that gives me comfort. My God. When I cry out to you, then my enemies will turn back. This I know because God is for me. And so, Paul had to rely on God with this thorn in the flesh. He had to rely on God. People have to rely on him. And sometimes that is God's grace in our lives showing his strength in the midst of our weakness. David was weak here. This is why he was crying out to God. Paul was weak. That's why he constantly cried out to God. One time the angel stood beside him and said, fear not, Paul, when he was about to be shipwrecked. He says, you're going to be cast upon an island, but I've given you every soul with you. He said, not only are you going to survive, but I've given you everyone on the ship, 276 souls. So you're going through something right now. That's why I'm here, because God said no to Paul, and God says no to us sometimes. Hello, let's be clear. He does. Now, some people would have you, God answers all your prayers. Yes, that's no. James says he doesn't because he says you ask and you don't receive because you ask upon your lust, that you may consume upon your lust. And God says no. So we see there. But in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, again, we see God's people depending upon him, relying upon him. Oh, our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude. There's the weakness, the human weakness of Israel. The human weakness, God said, my strength is made perfect in weakness. When you get in a situation you can't control, don't lose your mind. Set your mind on God. Come on now. Know that God. Your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, as Jehoshaphat did. We have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do. You ever been there? I don't know what to do. What are we going to do? I don't know what to do. But our eyes are upon you, Lord Jesus. That's the answer, church. And that's how God used human weakness, Paul's human weakness, to perfect his strength. To show himself strong on Paul's behalf. And when that happens, all the glory goes to God. Hello. You don't have these super apostles running around saying, oh, I'm deep. I'm super spiritual. Look at what I've experienced. Look at the visions and the revelations. Paul said, no, that's not what happens. No, when God's strength is made perfect in our weakness. All the glory goes to God. And let me be clear, God is careful about his glory. We see it in Judges chapter 7, the story of Gideon. And the Lord said to Gideon, the people who are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into your hands. Why were they too many? Well, couldn't God, well, God wasn't able to do it? No, God was well able to do it. He says, lest Israel claim glory for itself against me, saying, my own hand has saved me. God said, you have too many people for me to deliver the Midianites into your hand. Why? Because you might crave my glory, and I share my glory with no one. With no one. So Gideon had to, he asked all the people, said, is anybody here scared? He had 32,000 people there. He asked them, is anybody afraid? Yeah, 22,000 of them put their hands up. Gideon said, go home. People went home. He's down to 10,000. God said, nope, that's still too many. And sometimes we wonder what's going on in our life. God's going to give himself glory. Let's be clear. Because it's only right that he who created all things, sustains all things, has reconciled all things, and who's going to make all things new. It's only right that he gets all the glory. And I mean all. Hello. In Jeremiah chapter 9:23, Jeremiah said this, thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. Nor let the rich man glory in his riches. I think he summed up the Americans right there. Now let's be, no, I'm just kidding. He summed up humanity because humans love to boast in their might, how strong they are, how rich they are, how much they know. Jeopardy, how much do you know? Hello. We like to boast in it. But let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me. Paul said, oh, that I might know him. Fellowship of his suffering, the power of his resurrection. He said, oh, that I might know him. That was his longing and desire. That he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, says the Lord. Who are we going to glory in? Who are we going to glory in? We're going to glory in the Lord. Paul quotes Jeremiah here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Or chapter 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Let anyone who glories, glory in the Lord. Glory in the Lord. So God didn't want Paul glorying in his own strength. No, but glorying in God's strength. Let me close with this. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in needs, in reproaches, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. Can we say that? Huh? Having understood the grace of God upon his life, Paul gladly endured the hardships and affliction that came with serving the Lord, for he understood that when he was weak in his own fleshly strength, he was strong in God's strength. Ephesians 6:10. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Not your might, in his might. Ah, yes. So, Paul had the correct response. We would do well to cultivate gratitude to God for giving us grace to endure all that we have to for his sake. So the question comes to me, I put it to us, how are we doing when hardships come our way for the sake of the gospel? How are we doing? We're doing. I remember that Rosalie took care of her mother, you know, moved down south, took care of her mother. Someone might say that's not for the sake of the gospel. Indeed it is. Indeed it was. I look at my wife's case, you move down, you take care. You are spending, you're giving up your life. It takes strength to do that. You're in weakness. You can't control much of anything. And you cry out to God day and night, and he provides. And he provided. And infirmities and reproaches. I went into Subway the other day. I went in the Subway the other day to use the restroom and get me a sandwich while I was working. And the woman comes out of the woman's bathroom. I guess she's the owner. And I said, is there a key to the man's bathroom? Because I couldn't get in. She didn't say anything until she just handed me a wet set of keys. And I was like, ugh. You know, so I took the keys, went on, washed my hands and everything, came back to give her the keys. And she looked at me and didn't say a word and just pointed like I was. She pointed and just pointed down to the end of the counter, which meant get them down there. And she didn't say a word. Just treated me like I was treated me like I was not even a human being. Now, some people say, well, you didn't go through that for the sake of the gospel. Indeed, I did, because the girl who was standing next to her, you know what? Anybody can slap you upside your head. Anybody can go off and cuss you out. That's easy. You know what? Because the emotions lend themselves to that. But the Bible says, Jesus said in Luke 6:27, he says, bless those who curse you. Do good to those who use you. Pray for those who treat you illfully, right? I could have gone off on that woman. But in my spirit, I'm looking, I said, Lord Jesus, this poor woman treating me like this. This is so sad. Yeah, indeed it was for the sake of the gospel. So that someone would know that, well, you know, all people don't treat people that the same way. Cause I know some folk who would have went off and slapped that woman. Some people would have cussed her out, which would have not been, you know, any way associated with how Christians would respond or the gospel would go for. Some of us are going through things and we think, well, this isn't, I know Paul went through a lot, but this has nothing to do with that. Oh, yes, it does. Oh, yes, it does. Because we are the aroma of Christ in the earth. That's what Paul said. We are the fragrance of Christ and how we carry ourselves. Hello. We are temples of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is living in us that, Christ, we might be transformed and conformed into the image of Christ. So when we act as Christ would, that's the gospel going forth. Amen. We don't get to share the gospel with everyone we meet. But let me tell you, people see the gospel in your life every day. Every day by how you live, by how we live. So my heart's desire is that we understand that when we've been praying for a long, as Paul prayed 3 times, and the answer effectively, even though God didn't say no, but he meant no, that's what the effect was. When God says no to us, then we must realize and bathe ourselves in this fact that God has given me grace. He's given me grace enough to go through what I must go through. Therefore, I'm going to go through it and giving glory and praise and thanksgiving to God for his goodness toward me. Amen?
Amen.
All right, there we have it. Any questions or comments on the teaching?
Yeah, Pastor, can I share a story?
Please do.
You know, in my journey across the desert, right, when I got to Algeria, I got into one of the cities, and there were some guys who were throwing stones at me, you know, and I never understood that until, years later. And my understanding was that those people there, they don't call themselves Africans, you know.
Mm.
They don't think they are. You know, they saw me as black, you know, just when they threw the stones at me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so just reading this passage about Paul just brought it all to light, you know.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks for sharing that, Kweku, because, you know, We do question a lot of the times, why did I have to go through that, Lord? Why? You know? And I think Paul answers a lot for us in as we make that application to our lives. It's not apples to apples. We're not being persecuted the way he was for preaching the gospel. Right. But a lot of times, God's people, we do go through things that we wonder, why am I here, you know? And so it helps us to get a better view of, you know, life as we go through it.
Amen.
Amen. Any other questions or comments? Thank you, everyone, for coming on. God bless you. God bless your Sunday. God bless your week. And we'll be here again next week.
Yeah. Good word.
Enjoy. Thank you. Blessings.